describe once again how the tank was hit.
Okay. I think I did it on the tank was hit on the right side of the tank, ran into a mud hole, and wouldn't move. All the tank could do was spin. Wouldn't back up, wouldn't go forward, wouldn't turn, no nothing. Bailey couldn't get it to move. So it's sitting there like that, at an angle, pretty much of an angle. And the field in front of us, I later found out where that, it was a self-propelled gun.
Well, how did you find that out?
From the corner, by walking on the ground afterwards, when we was looking for the burnout tanks. You could see the tracks where it had been. And it had fired from the right-hand corner of the field as we were facing it. The right-hand corner, which evidently being a tank, the artillery rounds hadn't bothered it. It just sat there and waited till we come. And it waited the others got by and then got me. When the round hit there and exploded, my hands were outside the cupola and it busted the stock of my carbine and injured me a couple places on the hand. I don't even remember which hand it was now, but it blew my helmet off, knocked my captain bars off of it, and I picked it up before I left. Saved it for a souvenir. I've got it now, and I look for it, but I can't find it. And the shrapnel and powder from the bursting shell hit me in the face. I still got one black spot. Can you see a black spot?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, that's powder under it, more likely powder. Matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, I had a piece come out up here.
Really?
Yeah. Finally worked its way out. I still got, they're not there, but they are gristle that have grown there where the, where it was. Anyway, and I got a letter from Nucio. He made a comment that says, are you still picking powder and shrapnel out of your face? And that one large piece hit me in the cheek and knocked a tooth out that I didn't know about. Until I started running, and then my jaw was flopping because of the weight of that piece.
And that's on your right side?
Yeah. The shell penetrated through the periscope opening and hit the gunner, knocked his eye out, and didn't hit anybody else. It didn't even hit my legs, but it put shrapnel in the radio, shrapnel in the Little Joe, shrapnel in the holes in the gun recoil mechanism, that the oil was leaking out, so you couldn't fire the gun. You might fire it one time, but it wouldn't stop going back. So we decided to evacuate real quick. This is split second decision. You look around and see all the damage, out you go, because we were expecting another round in. Got behind the tank, started trying to take care of the injured eye, but I figured we needed a medic pretty bad. And as being as I needed a medic also, I decided I'd go back and get a medic. So I ran back to get a medic. That's when I found out my jaw was bouncing. Mm. But I ran on back and got a medic and sent him up, well, asked him to go up to where the tank was, that there was a badly injured man up there that they needed a stretcher. And that's the last I know of that. I did not check back with the medics to see if they'd brought him in or what, which was beyond my capabilities for 2 days or so, because I was out for 2 days.
That's all you were at, was 2 days with all that?
Yeah. And that's when this one crew member out of my tank, I don't know his name, come up and told me that, well, I was just outside the aid station, come up and told me that about the SS men that had come up and killed Bailey and searched him and another man, looted their stuff, watches and etc. And that's all I have to go on that.
Yeah.
I did not see any of it or know any of it. And that was about the time that the infantryman, an infantryman told me about the three columns of smoke across the hedgerow. So I knew we were in bad trouble.
What happened to the infantry in all this? Had the infantry been with you?
They had 80% casualties, including the officer. For a while there, they thought they was all annihilated. But 80% casualties, and the other 20% weren't in very good shape. And going down that fire break to get to the infantry and also to get to the road, we were going almost due south, but at the end it turned kind of southeast. And when we came to the road, I'm just trying to remember, I'm not trying to remember what I read. When we got to the road, it seemed like the road was running pretty much from the northeast to the southwest, that it was a pretty good angle. And that the hedgerow beyond was almost north and south. So it made the field kind of a triangle. And the anti-tank gun that got me was in the junction of the triangle.